Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for the accounts in the Bible. And this morning, as we look at that precious account in Chronicles 15 of the ark being brought into Jerusalem and seeing the heart of David in wanting to worship you and seeing the attention to worship in that move of that ark. And Lord, we want to just worship you. We want to worship you in song. We want to worship you in word. We want to worship you in prayer. We just want to worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, keep coming back to grace. When we move the ark, we're moving the mercy seat. And the whole story of the Bible, the whole story of Israel and so forth, is the broken world and the need for God's mercy and his grace, right? And we're here today because of his grace. So let's sing about grace here this morning. Grace, what? Greater than all our sin. First Chronicles 15. Now, in First Chronicles 13, we had David having the right idea. Israel was unified. The capital has been moved from Hebron to Jerusalem, with all of the 10 tribes of northern Israel wanting that as well. And David wanted to restore God, in a sense, to the center of the nation. And the thing that was the most holy, in a sense, was the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the mercy seat was. In fact, when God gave Moses instruction for the tabernacle, he said, "This is where I will meet with my children, at the mercy seat." And that's where he meets with us. He is our propitiation, we're told in 1 John. And that means, in a sense, at the mercy seat. Now, the old tabernacle and all of the furnishings are still up in Gibeon. They have not been moved to Jerusalem yet. That won't happen in David's reign. That'll only happen in time of Solomon. And it would seem like David was most concerned with the worship. He was most concerned with that relationship with God. He wasn't maybe quite so interested in all of the rituals. Obviously, he kind of blew it the first time when they tried to move the ark in because he didn't follow. Actually, the Levites didn't follow. We'll see that recounted today. And how long it is between chapters 13 and 15, we don't know. We do know that it says in chapter 13 that the ark was in Obed-Edom's house 3 months. Well, what happened after 3 months? Was it set out on the sidewalk, or was it moved to Jerusalem? Nobody knows, because it doesn't tell us. But some time happened. We have this interlude of the 14th chapter, but that's some details about David getting the kingdom started and defeating the Philistines and growing in power and God blessing. But now we have what I think is the greatest day in David's life. I think this is his greatest day because I think, you know, David had two of the three offices in the nation of Israel, the three offices, the prophets, the priests, and the kings. He was not a priest, but he was a prophet and he was a king, and I believe he would have gladly traded the kingship and the prophets to be a priest, to just continually worshiping the Lord. You read their book of worship was the Psalms, right? Who wrote most of the hymns in that book is David, right? So he loved the Lord, and he wanted to be with the Lord. And even in his sin and so forth, he was a God after man's heart, wasn't he? The sweet psalmist of Israel. So we see here in verse 15:1, he built houses for himself in the city of David. This is in Jerusalem. Prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, specifically specified by God to Moses. For the Lord, what, has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever. And this is quite, I think, an example for all of us. We are to carry the word of God. We're not to push it. We're not to pull it. We're not to send it off on a cart or a train or something by itself. We're to carry it, right? It is precious. And it is to be an example of being carried. And so that was a type of that all the way back here. And again, David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place which he had prepared for it. Now, can you imagine the humiliation that David had gone through when you are publicly humiliated? It's my deal. We're going to move this ark to Jerusalem. And 30,000 people are there, estimated, and the parade stops because it wasn't done God's way. God stopped the parade. And so, how often are you really humiliated and discouraged after defeats in your ministry? And I know you are, and if you haven't, you will be. But we got to keep going. We can't quit. Satan wants us to quit, because many times the reason for the defeat is Satan's resistance, and we yield to that too much, and we feel defeat, so we feel, I'm not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. He can use somebody better. But he's given you something to do, and you're to do it, right? So we got to work through it, and we see here such a great victory on this day, but David had to learn, if you want great victory in doing God's work, you got to do it God's way. Blessing always follows obedience. I think it's a waste of time to ask the Lord to bless you or anybody else unless there's obedience involved and obedience preceding that. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. And here they are, 862 of them, if you count them up. The sons of Kohath, 120, and the Merari, 220, and Elisaphan, 200 and whatever it is, 80 of Eliel, and so forth. So he gets all the Levites there. Now, there is great organization and planning here by God in this move. This is not just a haphazard move. Well, we found out the cart didn't work, so we're going to carry it on poles this time. Oh, let's gather around over there and let's go. No, there's just great, great organization here. And we see that later, or throughout the Bible, we see that the order of worship was given to David by God. He was given to David by God, and that's really should be the kind of the principles of our worship today, because this is what God wanted and wants. So verse 13, it says, because the first time, in other words, because you did not do it the first time, the Lord your God broke out against us. And then he says, first he says, because you didn't do it, because the Levites were responsible for the furnishings of God. The Kohathites were responsible for carrying the things of worship there in the tabernacle. Now, were there carts given to the sons of Levi? Yes. Merari got carts. And Kohath didn't. Who are they here again? Merari got carts, and Gershom got carts because they were hauling the articles. They were hauling the curtains and the sockets and all that stuff. But for the items in the holy place, the worship, they were not to be carried. They all had rings on them with staves, and they were to be carried. So there were carts in the history, other than just the Philistines, but not to move the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holy Things, not to move the Ark of the Covenant, never to be done anything but carried. And I mean, you can't even look at the things without seeing the rings on it, knowing whether the rings for it, they're to be carried. But they didn't do it. And then so David says, I like the word we in here, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. Order is important in the Lord's economy. And we need to remember that too. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves. Now they're preparing themselves for this move. And I'm sure they're all thinking about good old brother Uzzah, you know, who's no longer with them because he wasn't prepared for the move, was he? They want to be prepared for the move. Set yourself apart, sanctify yourselves, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I've prepared for it. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark God of Israel. Verse 15, and the children of the Levites bore the ark on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word. The word of the Lord. When we are obedient to the word of the Lord, will God bless that? Absolutely. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites and to appoint their brethren to be singers. Now this is amazing. Getting ready for this great move. Look at the attention to detail here now for worship. He appoints leaders of the Levites. The Levites are the priests. The Levites are in charge of worship too. So they're going to be singing what? Accompanied by instruments? Notice that. Underline that. Well, not only that, but notice the order here. What is important here? It's the words. The words. It's not the band. We got it all mixed up in our society. What do the kids like? They like entertainment. They like to come and hear big bands. So we like big bands because it draws a lot of kids, right? But that's not God's order here. The order is the word to be accompanied by instruments. And I think often when we are worshiping and there's something not totally biblical about the words, we get quite a spiritual check, don't we? Because that's like quoting the Bible and misquoting it. Anytime somebody misquotes the Bible, don't you go, I mean, it just hits you, right? And when we sing some of these songs, they are not biblical. They're in the right direction, and I can see it, but they're not really biblical. The thing I like about the hymns so much, generally speaking, the hymns are all written by God, by people who are deeply loving God and deeply theological. And they're God-focused. It's not me, 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 I, yeah, that's almost Hebrew, isn't it? I didn't know I could even speak that language, but the Lord is giving me the tongue. To be accompanied by instruments. Now, here are the instruments. We got harps, cymbals, and then listen to this. What's the result of this? Resounding joy. There's to be joy in this, moving this ark to the capital. So the Levites appointed, and here they are. Heman, the son of Joel, and we've seen that over and over, named Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and the sons of Merari, Ethan, the son of Cushaniah, and so forth, in the second rank. And we go on through these names. And now notice it's kind of interesting, verse 20. Zechariah, Aziel, Shermanuth, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Maaseiah, Benaiah, with what? Strings according to Alamoth. Now, does anybody know what that is? So I can tell you, and you won't know whether I'm right or wrong, right? I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what I wrote, what I read. Alamoth is like a more feminine pitch. It's a higher pitch. So these would be smaller harps, basically, because they're going to be a higher pitch than the Sheminith. The Sheminith is the next verse. Metathiah, Eliphalet, Mechaniah, Obed-Edom, there's Obed again, Jeiel and Azariah to direct with harps on the Sheminith. You know, we got an orchestra here in a sense. We got the lower range, which is basically the octaves. This word also means octaves, would be a wider range. And then we have the little high ones, right, for the high notes. But it's beautiful when it's all put together, isn't it? And then this next verse, very important, I think, verse 22. Shaniah, leader of the Levites, was instructor in charge of the music because he was what? Skillful. God gifts us all in some way, and we need to use those gifts. We may not be the best in the world in that gift, but we want to be the best with the gift that God has given us, right? Some people are so gifted. You know, they've always said in sports, like anything, baseball, basketball, whatever, the really talented kids in high school and in college, most of them don't really apply themselves, and that based on their gifts, they can be the star of the team and all that, but they never go beyond that because they don't want to work to get beyond that. And with us, we may be very gifted, and we look around, and I'm doing, man, this is a breeze for me, and everybody's laboring like crazy. Well, I don't think you're pushing your potential if it's a breeze for you necessarily. I'm not talking about that your ministry should not be joyful. It should be, but you should be pressing on to be the best you can be in whatever the God has for you to do. And nowhere in the parables does it say that the ones who are given more gifts or have on the basis of the gifting come out better than the ones who don't have. It's the ones who use the gifts that they have. And then in the 5 and 10, 1, 5, 10 parable, the gifting, the reward is exactly the same for the one who doubled it at one level and the one who doubled it at the higher level. We want to use our gifts. And here the gifts were used by Shemaiah. God is a God of order, and he is going to put somebody in charge, you know, who's totally a misfit, because you're not going to get he's not going to get the right result out of that, I don't think. So anyway, because he was skillful. And then we have verse 25. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark. So there's that big group again from the house of Obed-Edom. So if the ark was in Obed-Edom 3 months, I think it must be about 3 months from when it went in, right? Because it says he's going to take it out of there. And notice, with joy, with joy. This is a joyful occasion. This is, Lord, we want you in the center of our nation. We want you right in the heart of our capital. We want you. They wanted to have that close relationship with the Lord, and it's joyful. Verse 26, and so it was when God helped the Levites. You might underline that. When God helped the Levites. When we're doing things according to the will of God and the word of God, do you think God will help you?
Absolutely.
Yes. God helps us as we are obedient, and here it says, God helped the Levites who bore the ark, that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. You know, there's always been a controversy in my mind, because this talks about in the Kings, they went 6 paces and they sacrificed, right? And, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us whether they continue to do that every 6 paces all the way or whether it doesn't. But this tells me to believe they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. I would think maybe they went a few paces and offered one, a few paces and offered another. I don't know that they offered. They went 6 paces everywhere to the end. But it says, because he helped them. So they're doing it his way, right? Because he's helping them in this sacrifice. God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was clothed in a robe of fine linen. Notice he doesn't have his kingly garments on here. He's worshiping. He wants to be one of the people worshiping. And he even kind of wants to be, he can't be a priest, but he wore an ephod similar to a priestly ephod. So he is getting as close to the priesthood as God would allow him, it seems like. He wore a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers and the Chenaniah, this is a skillful guy, the music master with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. So he just wants to worship the Lord. He doesn't want to be set apart. He doesn't want to be excluded, I don't think. This is just a day of worship and rejoicing, and he just getting into it big time. Can you imagine a man with the gifts that he's had? He's written all these psalms about worship, and now he has that chance to bring the ark of God into the capital. What an exciting day it must have been. Verse 28, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant with shouting, and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. What a beautiful presentation. All for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. And it happened. Now we are going to get a fly in the ointment. You can expect flies in the ointment whenever God is really blessing you. And it'll come from either without or within your own home. Here, or at least one of his wives. And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised. It doesn't say she despised what he was doing. It's even worse than that. She despised him. And you might notice this verse well, because when people scorn you, when you're doing the word of God, you got to press on through it. But it can be really hurtful. Don't let that scorning stop you. And on the other hand, make sure you're not scorning someone else. Because what's happening here, she's attacking the very closest thing in his life and in his heart, that of worshiping God. And we see back in the king's account that she's basically comparing him to her father Saul. He would have never done that. You're right, he would have never done it. He didn't love the Lord. But she wants him to be a king. She doesn't want him a common people whirling around there in front of these common people. Even in her comments there, you can just see the lack of association with the people that she has, because they're down here and she's up here. But the result of this now is she's going to be sterile and fruitful for the rest of her, barren and fruitful for the rest of her life. How sad, how tragic. But this was the day, this was the day. First three verses in the next chapter. So they brought the ark of David, into the city of David. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. How great that is. But notice, even at the accomplishment of this great mission, with all this joy, they're offering sacrifices. It's still God-centered. It's still God-centered. It's not, look what we did, look what we did. We did it, we did it. You know, sometimes when I get home from mission trips or whatever, I mean, you're so glad to get home and you're so worn out, you're just glad that you got there. You know, you don't necessarily fall down on your knees and spend an hour or two worshiping before you unload the bus, right? It's like everybody's out of there. You know, they can hardly wait. But here we see they offered peace offerings and burnt offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. What a beautiful thing. And now he's going to feed them in that day. He's going to give them some carbs here. He's going to give them some protein. He's going to give them some dessert. To everyone he gave a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. That was their Hershey bar or whatever you call it in those days, I imagine. Cake of raisins. And then he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God. And he names these Asaph and so forth. And next time we'll maybe look at David's song of thanksgiving at this point. But this was a great day for him because he loved the Lord and he wanted to worship the Lord. And bringing the ark in was, in a sense, bringing God in. I mean, God is not in a box. God is everywhere. But this signified the most holy place. I mean, we didn't have our Lord Jesus who had gone to the mercy seat with his sacrifice yet. So in the old covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was as close as you could get to God, in a way, the mercy seat. So great thing here. So use the skills that you have been given to the max for the glory of God. Make sure you're doing it in accordance with God's word. And don't try to do it on your own strength because it won't work. And if you don't do it God's way, he'll stop your parade. And it's going to be really humiliating. But don't worry about humiliation in a lot of senses because you're going to be humiliated. God uses that, doesn't he? I mean, he's still working on us, isn't he? He's got a lot of work left here, I tell you. I mean, it's not that he's got a lot of work. I've got a lot of work to just do what he says, right? Well, Father, we thank you for this great joyful occasion, and we see the order in it and how you want us to be joyful, but how we need to be aware of the best way is your way and no other way. Now, if we have the chance to pray, Lord, may we pray for those things you put on our heart that are near and dear to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's pray.
My soul, praising my
Father, may that be our story, praising you all the day long. And Lord, may we be carrying that into this dark world, Lord, not pushing it on a cart or giving it away, but carrying that good news and the fact that we want to praise you and worship you. You are worthy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.